are back again for another edition of the Canes Insight Podcast, presented by Caneswear. I'm your host, managing editor of Canes Insight, Stefan Adams, and you know we have a great show for you today. On tap for today's episode, D-Money and I will be breaking down the latest news coming out of Hecht, which just this week saw Miami inside linebackers coach Travis Williams take the UCF defensive coordinator job. We'll talk about what that's going to mean for Miami going forward as they search for their third linebackers coach in the past month. Plus, we'll be giving you a look at this 2022 recruiting class. It's early. You may not know a lot of these guys' names yet, so this is going to be the perfect podcast for you if you want to start honing in on names to watch out for, big-time Canes targets. D-Money and I are going to break down a few guys, talk about who you need to be paying attention to locally in South Florida, which positions are strong and which positions are weaker, plus some potential trends we could see developing throughout this 2022 cycle as the months go along in terms of the national landscape. So it's a big-time episode today, and we're going to hop right to it, but you guys know how we do. We got to check in with our friends over at Caneswear, your one-stop shop for Miami Hurricanes apparel and gear. The Canes baseball season is on the horizon, so you know Caneswear has you covered with a ton of new arrivals regarding Canes baseball. Got the orange number 21 jersey with the old English lettering, also the official team hats the Canes are going to be wearing this year. Got the classic U logo and the old English M on there. Also, this one's pretty neat. I like this. Caneswear's got a limited edition full-size authentic helmet from Canes football. Got the matte black helmet with the orange U logo. $400, and not too bad. And you can get it shipped free to your house if you order on caneswear.com, because as always, orders over $99 ship for free. But if you're more on a budget, that's all right. Caneswear's always got the 20, 40, 60 sale going on their website. Just check out the daily deals tab on caneswear.com, where you can save 20, 40, or 60% off select items throughout the store. Go ahead and check that out. And military first responders, always save 10% at Caneswear. It's not just Hurricanes gear though at Caneswear. They got all your favorite South Florida sports teams. Ton of new arrivals with Inter Miami just came in as well. So you really have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Head on over to Caneswear off University Drive in the Arrowhead Shopping Center in Davie. Can't miss it. Turn right off the highway. See that big Caneswear sign on your right. Or order from the comfort of your home at caneswear.com. Caneswear, your one-stop shop for Miami Hurricanes apparel and gear. How do you, Caneswear? We are back here on the Canes Insight Podcast with some news to break down. D-Money coming on. You know it's good stuff as always. So Travis Williams departs as Miami's linebacker coach. Lasted only about 2 weeks. Miami's been having trouble getting linebacker coaches to stick. Programs around the country are trying to poach Miami's linebacker coaches. But this is actually our third podcast now of talking about what a linebacker coach is and who's going to actually be on staff. You know, Miami's finalized that linebacker coach, and they finalized their whole staff twice now. And now Miami's back on the prowl searching for their next linebacker coach. So we'll all break it all down and talk it out and bring D-Money on. And we're going to talk a little bit about some 2022 recruiting stuff. Talk about what you can expect from now until till the dead period ends. We get some more visits, get some more concrete information. So let's bring on D-Money and talk it all out. What's going on, D-Money?
Not much, man. Just getting ready for recruiting season. It's going to be weird with the dead period getting pushed out, but going to be a lot of names coming on the board, people watching tape, and hopefully these camps get up and running. I know we got one in March at least with Under Armour, so some stuff getting back to normal.
Yeah, Under Armour too. Under Armour was one of the last ones last year before the pandemic really hit. And that was like the last like good one that we actually got to go to and got some real good info and data and got to see a lot of these kids in person. So yeah, it'll be interesting to bring it back with Under Armour. Can't believe it's been a full year now. All this stuff's been going on. But obviously the big news this week, D-Money, was Travis Williams up and leaving to go to UCF after really only 2 weeks at Miami's inside linebackers coach. Travis got that promotion to defensive coordinator at UCF with Coach Gus Malzahn, his former head coach at Auburn, accepting the UCF job, head coach job over there. So it seemed like a natural fit. Can't blame him too much, that personal relationship and also a little promotion in there. Give him a chance to be a full-time defensive coordinator. But it kind of leaves Miami in a position yet again. Well, looking for that linebacker coach to fill out this staff. Of course, Blake Baker leaving to LSU about a month ago, and now Williams leaving. It's a good and bad thing. I mean, at least Manny's getting guys that other schools seem to want and respect, and you know you can see a good thing for that from that perspective. But you got to have this staff set and ready to go and ready to recruit. D-Money, just your overall thoughts on the move from Travis Williams, where this leads Miami.
Yeah, bad luck, really, that this job opened up with the connection with Malzahn. He took it. Can't blame him for taking it. It's a great gig for him. You knew he was going to be a short-term guy just because his next step was being a DC. A lot of people think he's going to be a head coach, so he might not be in UCF that long. But a rising guy, that's the risk when you go after rising guys. Again, you really hope to get him for a year at least. So that's the bad luck element of it. But he's not the only good linebacker coach, not the only good recruiter around. So got a chance to make another good hire. Probably won't bring the total package. You're going to have to bet a little more on the upside with this next hire. Get someone that's the next T-Will as opposed to getting him himself. But you know, some interesting names. The name that I heard right when this went down was Mike Peterson at South Carolina. Someone who'd be interesting name. Outside linebackers coach there the past 2 years. Played 14 years in the pros, graduated from Florida. A really good player, fast player, very talented guy, and obviously stuck around, knows what he's doing. That's a name to watch. Another name, Jamar Chaney, out of Mississippi State. He's an analyst there, would take the job in a heartbeat, obviously, if offered. Somebody who, well-known in that Treasure Coast area, familiar with Kamari Wilson. Kamari Wilson was tweeting about him yesterday. So this is a guy that has very deep relationships in that area. Really was known as an excellent recruiter while at UF. I remember when he left UF, there were a ton of tweets from recruits just, you know, complaining about him leaving. So you could tell he had a lot of deep relationships with that class. So those are two names. I think recruiting is going to be the primary concern, at least that's what it should be. Linebacker, and there's a discussion on this on the board today, and I totally agree. Linebacker is not really a developmental position. These guys usually come in ready to roll. You've seen so many true freshman linebackers excel because they're the guys with instincts. They're the guys that can run. They're the guys with ability. So he's going to be getting guys like that. And with the current guys, I think just getting a fresh set of eyes who's going to give a different viewpoint of their evaluation to Manny, who recruited all these guys and had trouble in that area. So either one of those names I think would be interesting, but that's the kind of hire to me we should be going after. A recruiter and someone who's going to make an immediate impact in that area.
Absolutely. And I mean, like I said before, this is seems like our third podcast on just talking about linebacker coach, but I don't want to repeat myself too much, but I mean, we've been harping on it for a while now. It's just the recruiting's got to get better at this linebacker position. It was such a big weakness for Miami last year. And that was the part of that big excitement of getting a guy like T. Wilk to come in, because you knew he has those recruiting bona fides to his name already. And you were just excited to see the kind of type of talent he was going to bring in. So it's kind of disappointing to see that the relationship didn't go much farther than a couple of weeks, but it's kind of interesting. You see it being a younger guy. That's kind of been Manny's more of his go-to in terms of hiring coaches. This offseason was a big shift for him. Hired a lot of veteran assistant coaches. That's something that, he's been more prone to hiring those younger, less experienced than him, guys that have been from his coaching tree that were previously GAs or QCs and things of that nature. There's been some kind of rumors around, the Canes family always likes to turn these up, but talking about a guy like a Randy Shannon or Michael Barrow possibly coming in and filling that linebacker coach. So you don't see it being like that type of guy. Do you see anything like that possibly happening?
It's always possible. I wouldn't bet on either one of those scenarios, and I really wouldn't like either of those scenarios, quite frankly. With Shannon, I never liked his evaluation at linebacker. He had a lot of weird takes. I remember when Glenn Cook and Beeson signed in the same class, I heard from one of the defensive coaches that Shannon actually liked Glenn Cook more than Beeson. Because it is me editorializing. I think he reminded Shannon of himself. And I think Shannon kind of recruited that way. He did bring in some pretty good linebackers, certainly better than what Manny has done. So it's not that he's a bad recruiter. His evaluation was a little off. And his energy level at this age, I'm not sure is what you need to really rebuild this linebacker room. Michael Barrow, good recruiter, has some NFL experience now, obviously has the playing experience. But I heard mixed reviews of his coaching while he was at Miami from people on the inside. A lot of people thought he was just too complicated, really better suited for the pros with the way he communicated, wasn't as adept. Even though he knew his stuff, obviously, the communication to a young kid, at least at that time, was not that great from what I understand. So a young guy, I think, is the way to go with this position. And you hope you get the next guy on the way up. So I think the names that We've heard Peterson, Chaney, more along the lines of what we need. T. Will was perfect. It was really a lucky stroke to get him, and unfortunately, an unlucky stroke to lose him. So I wouldn't like either of those names personally.
Arthur Brown is happy to hear you say no Shannon. But yeah, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see and, you know, see who Manny brings in. It's a third time's the charm, I guess. Let's just kind of move on and talk a little bit more. You know, this 2022 recruiting class is really starting to fire up. Obviously, you know, we officially turned the page 2 weeks ago with that kind of dud national signing day where Miami didn't sign anybody. It was kind of funny hearing Coach Diaz in his press conference. You know, he kind of made reference to how Miami didn't sign anybody. And Miami's been able to get a head start for the past month and a half or so on this 2022 recruiting class. So they're deep into it. We're really talking about, you know, a class that has two commitments right now, both on the defensive line. Jess Simpson coming in already has some footing underneath him. Of course, Jamal Johnson from Chaminade, Brandon Cleveland from Tampa. There's still plenty of ways this class could go. There's still plenty of routes to take. You know, Miami's kind of seen, you know, just talking to a lot of kids, you know, on the camp circuit or via interviews or just coaches, whatever. Miami's kind of viewed as a team on the rise right now. You know, they improved from their last year. They did not beat the top team on their schedule, but, you know, the coaches are pitching this vision to these kids, and it's a yearly process. It's a year after year process. And it seems like, you know, a lot of these kids are starting to see that proof of concept buying in, Miami improving over last season. So, you know, of course, the very biggest key of any recruiting class, the centerpiece, has always got to be a quarterback. And, you know, I think, though, you know, a lot of the smoke that we've been hearing and we've been seeing lately has been with Ja'Kari Brown from Lowndes High over in Georgia, you know, a guy that where Thomas Davis just signed from 2021 class defensive end, teammate of his. But with Ja'Kari Brown, it seems like Miami's starting to gain some traction there. And that would be an interesting name to fill out at quarterback, D-Money.
Yeah, that's the name that you see the quarterbacks really impact each other. It really is dominoes because you're only taking one most of the time. They all know each other. And, you know, one school takes one guy, leads to another guy becoming available or losing one of his contenders. It all interlocked and it happens early. So seeing those pieces fall into place, Ja'Kari Brown really picking up steam for Miami. I heard some very encouraging things regarding his recruitment recently. I think the final piece is taking a visit, whether it's virtual or if he comes down. Obviously, it's still a dead period, but if he just comes down on his own dime, check it out. I think that could be the final piece. And you get a quarterback. And with Ja'Kari Brown, I've seen him play several games. Saw him play against Northwestern last year. Saw his game against Valdosta this year on ESPN, where both those games, he was off the chart, probably the best player on the field in either game. 6'4", 220 pounds, runs like a deer, really faster than quick. He has some quicks, but he's really more a fast guy. He could take it to the house. Curious to see what he runs at these camps coming up in the combine, but I'm guessing it's going to be at least in the 4.5s, if not 4.4. Cannon arm, nice release. His issue is accuracy. But again, you have some passing tools to work with. He has the cannon. He has a smooth release. It's a lot of stuff like footwork, balance, you know, fundamentals that I think can be tweaked and coached. He also doesn't have the best supporting cast. He really carries his team as far as on the offensive end and in the passing game. So put him with some high-end receivers like he'd have if he was at, for example, St. Thomas. I think you'd see him put up a lot better passing numbers than Zion Turner did. He just hasn't had the supporting cast from a receiving standpoint. But that's going to be an area to work on. It's definitely a concern when you have a guy that's, you know, hovering around 50% passing. That's not good. But there have been guys like that that have gone to succeed. There's guys that have been like that and never improved. So that's the question mark. But with the size, the athletic ability, the arm talent, no-brainer take to me. Impact player, guy who's 24-3 as a starter. Again, often the best player on the field, including big games. So it's not like a Sikowski where you're saying this guy's got all the tools, but he's not a good player, or a Jack Allison. This is a guy who is a good player, has the athleticism that allows him to excel when he's not throwing the ball well, and then has the throwing potential. So totally different scenario to me than those two guys. It will be an interesting guy to watch. I heard his personality is great, and that's the kind of guy that if you get him early, he can be the leader of his class. Someone pops in the highlights, says, hey, this guy's really talented. He gets a call from the kid. There's no dead period for recruits. They be calling all the time, group chats, whatever, starting to recruit for the class. And I think if Ja'Kari Brown were to commit early, let's say in the next month, that could be a huge thing for Miami's recruiting, especially with the dead period being pushed off to May 31st, which, you know, to me is one of the most idiotic things I've seen the NCAA do in a long time. You can't have a kid visit a campus when classes are open. I mean, normal students aren't visiting campuses. They can't go to a camp at a school when there's a million camps going on, 7-on-7 tournaments every single weekend. You can't have that. It's horrible. It's political. It's, again, insane. And what's going to happen is, because coaches can't go on campuses and see spring games, spring practices, that whole spring evaluation period is dead. How many kids are not going to get scholarship offers because coaches weren't able to see them? You go to a practice, you might go to see one kid, you see another kid, you see late bloomers. Some of these kids haven't played since COVID or you haven't seen them since COVID. So all those kids are going to have opportunities lost because of this stupid political PR move that has no basis in anything. And you're going to have more kids going through the transfer portal because why are you going to take a freshman if you haven't seen him? You know, so just a really, really terrible move that, like many of the bad decisions during this pandemic, is going to have some downstream consequences and the kids are going to suffer. So really disappointed to see that news today that the dead period is officially getting moved to May 31st. But, you know, back to the topic of Ja'Cory Brown, at least he's a guy that if you get his commitment, he can move this class along during the dead period and really build up steam. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to get somebody on campus to give them the tour anytime soon.
Yeah, like I was saying, that quarterback, you need them every single class. And they're usually that centerpiece of the class that that is the leader that helps recruit the other kids, that is trying to bring other guys on board. The quarterbacks always seem to be committed early. They seem to jump into the class early and they want to take that leadership role. So that's always a big key to look out for. You know, Miami last cycle, of course, getting Jake Garcia at the end in December. This is not your typical quarterback recruitment. You know, most of the time you're seeing these guys jump in by the end of spring. So definitely Ja'Cory Brown, probably one of the guys to really want to watch out for. And, you know, D-Money, I mean, we haven't gotten a chance to really break into the camp scene just yet. I mean, there's been a few here or there in the 7-on-7s. But, you know, like we mentioned, some of the bigger camps are starting to come along, hopefully starting in March with Under Armour. And, you know, once the kids are able to visit, you'll have a better idea of, you know, who's really rising on the Miami's target board and, you know, who's really becoming a priority to Miami. But just from, you know, without all that, just from your perspective right now in February, which local recruit do you really see as a, you know, a can't miss guy for Miami this cycle? I mean, who do you see as being that guy that can really take this class and has a lot of potential, you know, even if it's not just on the field stuff, even if it's an influential guy off the field that that will bring other players along with him? You know, Miami had a lot of success with kids like that last cycle. So, you know, just in terms of all those factors, you know, who do you see as being one of the most important guys for Miami to get in this class?
I think the two best players I've seen, again, COVID season was weird. You didn't get as much in-person evaluation as you normally would. Yeah, I haven't seen some of these guys in a long time. We'll know a lot more after camps. But, you know, based on having seen these guys play full games, having seen them in person in other settings, the two best guys to me going into spring, going into camps, hands down, Marvin Jones Jr. at American Heritage. I think he's the best prospect by far down here. And then Julian Armella, the right tackle from Columbus, plays left tackle in high school, but I think right tackle in college. For him, Jones, starting with him, the frame, he's a legit 6'5", getting bigger every day. The athletic ability, this guy used to run track, used to play receiver, similar to Rousseau in that regard, change of direction, production, the gene pool, he's got it all. And I think if Miami builds a relationship there, they got a chance, because this guy, his dad, FSU legacy, I don't think FSU's a lot to get. Actually, both those guys I just listed are FSU legacies. I don't think FSU's a lot to get either of them, quite frankly. Mom, in the case of Armella, lives in Coral Gables, wants him home. Mom of Marvin Jones went to Miami. I believe she was an athlete there. So good bloodlines for both of those guys. And you really have a good sell, particularly for Jones. If you're selling the team, the franchise, you're saying, look, we have more defensive ends than anybody in the NFL. We're about to have two guys drafted first round. A third guy is going to be probably day two. We lead the nation in sacks or are close to it every single year, tackles for loss. The system's conducive to guys like you. The business decision for you is to come here, and there's an opportunity to play. There's going to be a lot of depth chart issues at defensive end. He can come in right away and potentially start or play a big role. So to me, Marvin Jones, that's the kind of guy who is going to be a huge battle because everyone in the country will be after him. but I think we have a realistic pitch to him, and I hope we're prioritizing him that way. Armella, he's had some family drama. You know, some people think he just wants to leave. He'll fit well in the SEC. He has some two teammates at LSU and Doomerville and Marlon Martinez, former teammates from when he was at St. Thomas, who have been selling LSU to him. Alabama, you can see this. He looks like an Alabama offensive lineman, so you could see him getting some interest there. But Miami has Ryan Arriquez, his teammate at Columbus. You have, again, his mom pushing for Miami. I saw him at a Canes game this year, so I know he's been going there. There's some things at play which could help you with Armella. Cuban guy, we don't tend to go too far from home. We always end up back. So, you know, that's those are both going to be recruitments that aren't settled, I don't think, in the next couple months. But you got to keep recruiting those guys because they're studs. Two local guys, I think, that would be essential guys to get, and I think are better than people that have been getting more hype than them and getting rated over them. That would be Jacoby Spells, the cornerback from American Heritage. Some of us have been saying this, and it's starting to pick up steam. To me, I want to see him at the camp to confirm this, but from watching their games this year, the guy that always stood out to me from watching American Heritage, besides, of course, James Williams and Marvin Jones, was Spells. I thought he was unbelievable. He has size. He's aggressive. He's fast. And he has hands. He used to be a receiver. I think this is the guy with upside. You talk about first, second round picks. That's what he brings to the table from a talent standpoint. Earl Little's got a lot of the press, has a higher rating. But I think really talent-wise, the better talent there is Spells. Defensive end, you've heard a lot of defensive ends get hype. But the guy that I think is as good as anybody is Nijah Kelly. I'm not sure how to pronounce his first name. I know you interviewed him, Stefan, at Dillard. Nijah Leak. To me, he's better. I mean, aside from Marvin Jones, he's the only other guy in that class. Shamar Stewart, I want to see him in a game. I've only seen him at camps. So put that one in the maybe category. But, I mean, Nijah Leak Kelly, this guy is super productive. He has size. Extremely athletic and functionally athletic. He has those pass rusher movements, the bend, the change of direction. He's a guy that FSU commit, three-star, not really getting the attention of everybody, but I think he's a lot better than some of these people that have been ranked ahead of him. You know, Kenyatta at Chaminade, I saw both of them last year. Kelly is the much better player right now. So that would be somebody that I would love Miami to get some traction with. I know they're working on him. I know they prioritize him and Spells. I agree with that evaluation wholeheartedly. I'm glad that Miami has looked at those two as the guys, because I totally agree with that analysis. Those would be two that I'd watch. Really bad class locally as far as skill position, offense, you know, running back, wide receiver. This is not the year for that. Defensive back really is not that strong. There's some good players, but an Armella, a Jones, you can get those guys. You're really, really stacking a strong class on the lines.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with you with Kelly from Dillard. I mean, like you said, I talked to him last week. He's a guy that people have been, you know, kind of raving about in the past few weeks. Really seems like a riser on the recruiting front. Guy that I've seen his tape. I haven't seen too much of him in person. Love his tape. You know, Jess Simpson has come in, and he's really seemed to make him a priority, you know, from just in the past few weeks. And, you know, talking with him, he made a pretty interesting comment about that. I mean, he's obviously still committed to FSU, and he, you know, he admitted he's still with FSU, but, you know, he also said, you know, he's like, but also, you know, I didn't know Coach Simpson before, you know, before I committed to FSU. So, you know, things can change. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It seems like Coach Simpson's already kind of, you know, making some headway there. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that progress is going down the line. Definitely a real interesting kid for Miami to get. And I think, you know, he's a three-star now, but I think, you know, with all the buzz he's been creating, I think he's going to end up being a four-star, especially, you know, watching his tape. Also agree with you on a guy like Armella. Got to keep building up those lines at Miami. It's that five-man line. It's tough. It's tough year over year when you lose people. Luckily, Miami's been able to retain, you know, all those guys on the line this year coming back into 2021. You know, they just got to keep, you know, pushing on the recruiting front with Armella. I mean, last time I saw him really up close and personal, kind of struggled a little bit. He's had some consistency issues, but you can see all the tools. And, you know, when he's on, he's dominant. He was just burying guys sometimes at points. And that was back when he was a sophomore, I believe. And
Let me jump in on that. because I wanted to mention that, which is, you know, his sophomore year, I think Thomas was really not that. His freshman year was great. He started and was great in camps. Yeah, then his sophomore year, off season and the season, he was really not that good. He actually got benched temporarily at St. Thomas. Weight wasn't where it needed to be. Just really, you know, attitude wasn't matching the performance. He's an intense guy. He plays with a major edge. So sophomore year, and I think that's why on 247 or, you know, wherever they're rating, I think he's outside the top 100 now because of that. I think they said, all right, this guy maybe not as good as the hype. His junior year at Columbus was unbelievable. He lost weight. He looks, I saw him pretty recently, and he looks exactly like you want a tackle to look. He's lean, mean, you know, not puffed up, but he's big. Just a perfect tackle frame. And then he was just burying guys this year at Columbus. He was so mean, so intense. Talk to people at Columbus, they're like, yeah, this guy's a real five-star, and he's kind of a jerk. You know, not in a negative way, just in terms of, like, this guy, he plays mean. You don't have to convince this guy to be intense. He's going to be that way.
Yeah.
So I think based on his junior film and performance and the progression of his physicality, that's why I put him so high. But you're right, he did struggle a lot as a sophomore, and there were kind of a lot of skeptics going into this year.
Yeah. He definitely is that guy that will bury you, though, like you mentioned, and he'll talk to you afterwards. He's got that demeanor for sure. But I was talking about two off seasons ago, like right when you kind of really first broke onto the scene in 2019, that's when that freshman year and then that off season, he really took off. And then last off season was when, you know, his sophomore year and then, you know, that year between the off season between sophomore and junior year, he kind of backslid a little bit last year. That's where the inconsistency started to kind of come in, and maybe he bought into a type a little bit too much. But like you said, you know, it was great to see him bounce back as a junior. And you know, it's tough to pass on, you know, a guy 6'6", 300 pounds that moves like that and has that intensity and demeanor that you look for. He kind of checks all the boxes. You know, plenty of time for him to keep developing, of course, too. And I definitely agree with you on Armella. I think that'd be a huge get for Miami. Jones, I haven't seen too much of. I definitely want to see more. You know, he's really, really risen in the past year or so. You know, we've got a lot of people that have seen him just love, like, including you, just seem to love him. So I definitely would love to see more of Jones. You know, a guy I really like, and I got to see earlier this offseason, was Wesley Bisonte from Miami Central. Of course, we just talked about, you know, Miami's issues at linebacker and the recruiting issues. You know, this is the top linebacker in South Florida. Travis Williams came when he got hired 2 weeks ago. Literally, it seemed like his first call was to Wesley, trying to recruit him, trying to get him to stay home at Miami. And, you know, the guy's just a beast. He's got all the physical ability in the world. And he's got instinct too. I know. I just love how he tracks the ball. You know, how he's very good in coverage and, you know, just sideline to sideline, you know, getting into the backfield and being a like that rangy type linebacker that really can excel at that second level. For me, that'd be a huge get for Miami in this class. You know, a guy like Wesley, being South Florida, there's just so many guys down here. And, you know, we touched on a few. So, you know, that I think that'd be, if Miami was able to get half those guys we just talked about, that'd be a really great, great, great start to this class. You know, we'll just have to see, you know, how things progress going down the line. But just in terms of D-Money, like the trends that we're really looking at, you know, you talk a lot about that, you know, on the boards and stuff, you know, maybe things people aren't really looking at. Just what's your overall take of this 22 class? Where do you see the trends going from here?
National. I think it's going to be the reverse of what it usually is. So usually the kind of cliche is you got your receivers and your DBs here. You got your big guys out of state. There's some truth to that. I think it's becoming less true lately, but that's the cliche. This one's going to be the opposite. I think you're going to get your big guys here and you're going to get your DBs and receivers for the most part out of state. Let's say corners out of state and wide receivers. That's going to be the interesting trend here because you look at the defensive line. There's a million guys that are really talented. Even a guy like Jamal Weiss, who came out of nowhere at Florida Christians, looks like somebody who might be an interesting defensive tackle prospect. Alton Tarver. I'm just listening to guys that we don't even hear about, along with the tons of defensive ends. So I think that's going to be locally sourced. The defensive line class, offensive line class. We mentioned Armella. There's a few other guys with some upside who could develop into factors. But then DBs, corners,
aside from Jacoby Spells, there's not a lot of talent here. Travell Mullen's gotten some attention. You know, he's got some speed. He's the fastest of his two brothers, both of whom really excellent players. He's the fastest, and he's getting taller. I think he's over the 6 foot mark. I didn't think he was that great this past year on the field, but with the bloodlines and with the tools, you like betting on that kind of guy. But in a class where you're going to take probably four corners, they're going to aim high as far as some out of state guys. You got Traquan Fagans from Alabama, who was here with the Miami Immortals team, Coach Duaso. I know he has interest. You know, guys from all over are getting a lot of attention, where usually you look at only local guys at that spot. And then wide receiver, same thing, all over the map with the wide receiver offers. There's not much quality down here. I know they like Mike Jackson because of that rare speed, which I get, but otherwise not a lot of great receivers here. I like Devon Mortimer. They think he's too small, but you know, he's a guy I like. So that's where I think the trend is going to be, an inversion of the usual big outside, quick locally. It's going to be the opposite this year.
There always seems to be like that one weak spot in South Florida every year. Like you said, I think this year it could be wide receiver. There's always guys that you'll see, you know, emerge late. And that's something that Miami's been pretty good, you know, on the lookout for. They've always kind of been pretty good identifying those guys. You add in the caveat of this recruiting cycle and a lot of last cycle too has just been so affected by the pandemic. But I think this cycle is even more because, you know, the 2021 evaluations, those were already done before, the majority of that of those evaluations had already been done before that pandemic really started going last March. Now, I think the 2022 class is when you really start to see, you know, possibly where the lack of evaluations really start to kick in, because, you know, a lot of these guys were, you know, having their between their sophomore and junior year, you know, and that's really, really, really start to see growth and really start to see guys separate is between that sophomore, junior year. And that's when that pandemic hit for a lot of these guys in this 2022 class. So, you know, it's going to be tough for Miami to kind of rebound, but they're in a better situation, in my opinion, than a lot of other schools. Just the sheer fact they're down here in South Florida and all the talent around them. You know, they kind of have their pick of people, and there's just so many local coaches they can lean on. And they do a pretty good job of that, you know, relying on, you know, word of coaches and just trying to get as much intel as they can gather on different kids as possible. So I think that's just something that they're going to have to keep building on and working on, you know, and it's tough for everyone. So we'll just have to see, you know, how things kind of progress from there. But I think that's a pretty good start for a pretty good preview of what, you know, you can expect from this 2022 class, especially if you have no idea coming in really where to start with this 2022 guys. I think this was a pretty, good primer just to get you started, get you on the right path. So, and that pretty much wraps up this edition of the Canes Insight Podcast. And D-Money, thanks for coming on as always.
My pleasure, man.
Absolutely. You guys know what to do. Stay locked into CanesInsight.com for all the latest team news, recruiting news. And of course, the message board is always popping. For my guy, D-Money, I'm Stefan, and we out.